years ago, God chose one man to bless the whole world through that man. You know his name is Abraham. Then God chose his son, Isaac, to give him a promised land, to give him offspring, a promised offspring, and blessings for the whole world. And then God chose one of two of Isaac's sons. The one was Jacob, and he said that his name would be changed to Israel, which it was. And God said that through him he would bless the world with blessings of salvation and great blessings. And then he had 12 sons, and they became the 12 tribes of Jacob, or 12 tribes of Israel, God's chosen nation through whom to bless the world. And then they became enslaved down in Egypt land, as you know about that, for 430 years. And while they were down there in Egypt land, God sent a deliverer named Moses. And he said, I'm going to deliver you. And he put plagues upon Egypt and judged Egypt and delivered Israel out of Egypt and did a miracle at the Red Sea. And they went through the Red Sea and then drowned the Egyptians. And then they were out there in the wilderness on their way to the beautiful promised land. And it is a beautiful land even today. I've been there. It's beautiful. And they were traveling there. And while they were traveling there, they were told that the tribe of Levi would have Aaron as one of the sons of the tribe of Levi. And he was to be the high priest. He would be the one that would offer sacrifices to deal with the sins of the people and allow the people to get near to God and worship God and have the blessings of God. But you know what? Some of the tribes were jealous and they said, you know, why should Aaron have this? Why not us? We're part of Israel. We're part of the chosen nation of God. We should be able to go into the Holy of Holies there in the tabernacle in the wilderness. We should be able to offer sacrifices. Aaron, you're taking too much on you. And the Lord saw they were arguing and fussing about that, and he judged them for it. And it was a terrible judgment, and many people were killed as a result of their rebellion against Aaron. And God said, you know what? I don't want this to continue. I want everybody to know in the nation of Israel that I have chosen Levi and I have chosen Aaron, and they're the priests to come before me and to deal with the sins of the people and bring the blessings upon the people. And God's way to do that was he had each of the 12 tribes of Israel take a dead stick. A dead stick. It would be called a rod. And they were to take that dead stick, and each tribe was to write the head of the tribe on it, and Levi's was Aaron's name was written on it. And they were to take those 12 dead sticks and put them in the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was in the tabernacle overnight. And God said, I will show who is the man I have chosen to be the high priest. And the Lord said that the dead stick or piece of wood that miraculously would bring forth blossoms, that would be the tribe that God had chosen. And that would be the man that God had chosen to approach him as the priest for Israel. And so that next morning... And so that next morning, when they got up and they went to the tabernacle, there was one stick, one rod that blossomed. It was miraculous. It was just a dead stick, but it blossomed, and that was Aaron's. And God said, okay, now I want you to keep that dead stick that now is alive with blossoms, and I want you to put that in the Holy of Holies, and I want you to put that in the ark where I meet with the people, and keep it there as a testimony. And that's what Moses did. And so today I want to talk to you about God's chosen man to save the world. And I want to look at Numbers 17, 1 through 10 to talk to you about God's chosen man to save the world. I want to say three things about this man. First of all, he's pointed out by his miraculous risen life. Let's read Numbers 1 through 5, chapter 17. I'll read it, you follow. And it came to pass, it says, and it shall come to pass that the man's rod who I shall choose shall blossom. God said that the man that I choose, his rod is going to blossom. In other words, God is saying, look, I'm sick of your arguing. I'm sick of your complaining. I want to make it clear to you. I want to bless you. I want to have somebody take care of your sins. I want to have somebody to help you to get near to me and walk with me. I want to have somebody that can pray down God's blessings on you. And the man that I choose, his rod, his dead rod, is going to blossom. And then I want that rod that blossoms to be kept as a testimony. And that's exactly what happened the next morning. One man's rod blossomed, and that's the one that God chose. And that reminds me of what the Apostle Paul preached in the New Testament, the book of Acts. He said when he was in Athens at Mars Hill, he said, because he, God, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. God said, I've got one man that I have chosen out of all people for all the 6,000 years of history. That one man can save you from death. That one man can save you from hell. That one man is also going to be the judge and will judge anybody that has not put their faith in him and will send them to hell. And I have shown that I chose that man by doing a miracle by raising him from the dead. He would truly be dead. He would truly be buried. But I am going to make him blossom into life. He is going to be raised from the dead. Now, today, we have witnesses that witnessed his resurrection. There were the 12 apostles that witnessed his resurrection. But you remember on that first Sunday, that first resurrection Sunday, almost 2,000 years ago, that one of the apostles was not there. And he did not witness personally his resurrection. And you know his name as Thomas, or Doubting Thomas. And Thomas said, you know what? He said, I was not there. You guys are saying that he was dead and now he's alive by a miracle. He said, I am not going to believe that unless I can put my finger in the nail prints in his hands. I'm not going to believe that unless I can take my hand and shove it into the hole in his side, because I remember that Roman soldier put a piercing in his side and out came blood and water squirting out of him, and he was dead, and that proved he was dead by what happened to his heart with the blood and the water that came out of him. And so I've got to actually touch him. I've got to actually put my fist in there before I am going to believe that he is risen from the dead. And you know what? God is saying that he is alive. And after a week, Jesus actually passed through the walls in which they were meeting. They were afraid. They had the doors locked. And he went right through the walls. And then he came to Thomas and he said, Thomas, put your finger right now in the holes in my hands. And Thomas did it. He said, now take your hand and thrust it right into my side. And Thomas did it. And then he cried out and he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus made Thomas an eyewitness of his resurrection. And just like the other disciples, he was an eyewitness of his resurrection. But then Jesus said, blessed are they that have not done what you did, Thomas, but they believe upon me. And that's where we are today. We have these witnesses of his resurrection, and we believe through their witness. We had a guy in our church. He was a very intelligent man. He had gone to college. He was very smart. And I remember him giving his testimony, and he said that people were telling him about Jesus, that he needed to put his faith in Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior. And he said, I just really don't know if I believe in the miracle of the resurrection. And then he said he had to grapple with something. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says that when Jesus rose from the dead, he was here on earth for 40 days showing himself alive to his apostles who were his witnesses. And he showed himself alive to the Apostle Paul.
But does anybody know how many witnesses he appeared to? It was actually 500. Chris is close. 500 witnesses. And think about that. There are more witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ than to the existence of Julius Caesar. There are those witnesses, and they speak of the fact that he is alive. And God says, you need to believe those witnesses. And this man, this couldn't have been a mass hallucination. No way. There were too many witnesses. He definitely must be alive. And if he's alive, he is the one that God chose to save the world. Because God said the one that he would raise up from the dead, he would save the world through that one. And just like Aaron, that he said, that dead piece of wood that is put in the Holy of Holies, that the one that blossoms, that's the man that I've chosen to be the priest. And that was Aaron. And Aaron was the high priest for Israel in the Old Testament. But thank God we're living in a greater time. We've got a greater priest than Aaron. He's from the tribe of Judah, not the tribe of Levi. He's the one that God chose, and God said, I will prove to you not by making a dead piece of wood blossom, but by making a dead man 3 days and three nights in the grave come out from that grave. And he's never going to die again. Thank God he never is going to die again. He's never going to have to hang on that cross again. Never going to have to bleed. Never be speared again. He's risen from the dead. And everyone that puts their faith in him is promised eternal life. Not just spiritual life, but even your body, if it dies, it will come back from the dead, like his. And even if you are here when he comes back, your body will be shaped like his body. And God said, I have pointed out that man to you. I have pointed him out, not by a dead piece of wood blossoming, but I pointed him out to you by raising him up from the dead. That is why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important, because God uses that to point you to Jesus. Have you come to him? Have you put your faith in him? Do you realize today that we serve a risen Savior? He really is alive. He is real. He has risen from the dead, and he is coming back again. He's been pointed out to you, and that's why in this message, I do what the apostles did. They kept pointing out the fact that Jesus is not dead. He's raised from the dead. And so he is God's chosen man that can save you from hell and save you from damnation and save you from a wasted life and save you from yourself, you see, because he is the one that gives you his life. I'm so glad when I got saved, I got new life. Amen. I got spiritual life, man. And it was different than something I had known up to that time. And if you're a born-again Christian, you have a spiritual life. And by the way, you need to feed that life. You need to feed it, not just coming to church on Christmas or coming on Easter, but you need to feed it every day by reading his word. You need to feed it every day by getting close to him. And every Sunday being in church, every Wednesday being in church to meet with him, because he said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We serve a risen Savior. He knows when you're here and when you're not. He knows when you're following him and when you're not. And God says, I'm pointing to you the one that you need to follow. I'm pointing you to the one you need to trust in, the one that conquered death. I've done many funerals, and it's very discouraging to people. I remember my wife, her grandmother died, and the son, her uncle of the grandmother, came. He came up to the casket, and he was not a believer, and he said, oh, death is so final. Oh, death is so final. Yes, it is, but Jesus ended death. Yes. Jesus rose from the dead. He is the one that God chose to be the conqueror of death. And he now points you to Jesus and says, Put your faith in him. Don't demand some kind of proof beyond what he's already given to the eyewitnesses. Put your faith in him and then follow him wherever he tells you to go, whatever he tells you to do. Follow God's chosen man for your life. I wonder if you're following God's chosen man for your life. Or if you're following some other man, if you're following some other thing, if you're following some other person, those things are just idols for your life. They will not satisfy you. They will not help you. Jesus Christ is the one that satisfies. Jesus Christ is reality. And I know I've been born again by Jesus. I know I've been born again in my spirit. I still have a dying body, though. This body is you know, may look good and white and all that stuff, but it's dying. It's dying. But hey, I'm getting ready to get a facelift when Jesus comes back. Amen. I'm looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker. If Jesus comes back before I die, I'm going to see the upper. But guess what? If I die before he comes back, that's all right. He's still taking me up. He's going to raise me up from the grave because he is the one man that, you know, people will disappoint you. I joke about ladies in the dating service, but a lot of ladies have put their faith in a man and been disappointed by that man. Amen. I'm so glad my faith is in the God man. He can't disappoint you. He is the one, in fact, it says in the book of Acts on Mars Hill, that God appointed. He appointed him. He ordained him to be the one that would be chosen, that can save you death in eternal lake, that can save you from a wasted life, that can give you a life of joy and peace and a life that counts. And so today, God's chosen man is pointed out by his miraculous life of being raised from the dead, risen, his risen life. But number two, I want you to notice he's the one that produces fruit by his miraculous risen life. Look at verses 6 and through 8. I'll read it. In number 17, it says, "And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece. For each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods, and Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness." Is that going up and down? Going down? Yeah, I thought I was. Let's get rid of this. Just like Brother Morgan, we gotta get rid of it. All right, now you can hear me. And I'm not doing this and this. All right. "So it came to pass on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness," it says, "and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded," and notice this, "brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds." I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I was wondering whether spring was going to get here for a while here. We had some nice warm weather in March at the end of winter, but then we had spring come, and I said, "Oh man, we're going to have more now, it's going to come." But it was cold, and I had snow up there and everything else. But I was out just the other day, and the warm weather's coming. Amen? How many of you noticed the warm weather? And with the warm weather comes buds and blossoms. Oh, I love the Japanese cherry trees, and all these trees, they're blossoming. And even though we had that cold weather, it didn't stop it. It's coming forth. It's coming forth. It's budding, and it's blossoming. And nothing could stop Aaron's rod from budding and blossoming, and it brought forth these fruits. I mean, like almonds. You could eat almonds. How many of you have eaten almonds before? You could eat the almonds. You could eat the fruit that came from a dead stick. Because God did something. You know what? Because Jesus did what God told him to do. God said, "I'll raise you from the dead." If you live that perfect life that you failed to live and I failed to live, if he would live that perfect life and then he would die to pay for the sins of the world, God said, "I'll raise you back up." Jesus trusted the Father to do that. And he went and obeyed him all the way till he was in the grave. Amen. He gave his life and he went in that grave trusting God. I'm so glad, by the way, that I can follow the Lord no matter what and know he'll take care of me. There was a lady in our church years ago. Her husband was not treating her well. And she told the pastor at that time, how much do I have to put up with this guy? How much do I have to put up with this guy? He's not treating me well. And he hadn't cheated on her, but he just wasn't treating her well. And she said, how much do I have to put up with this guy? And I remember the pastor said, well, Jesus was obedient unto death. He went all the way obeying the Father until death. And guess what? God raised him back up from the dead. God raised him up from the dead. And he said, if you'll follow me and you'll do what I have asked you to do, then I will raise you up from the dead. And not only will I raise you up from the dead, but anyone that puts their faith in you, I'll raise up from the dead. By the way, that's why we don't have to fear death when we're saved. We don't have to fear death if you're a born-again Christian, because you will be raised up from the dead. Thank God for that. We had one of our ladies that's here, Marilla. Her son just passed away, 21 years of age, and every day she feels the pain of that. Every day she feels the pain of that. But I guarantee you she'll see him again. She'll see him again. The disciple, because he's a believer, Reuben's a believer, he testified to his faith in Jesus Christ. And I've been so encouraged by his brother Eric coming to church. Eric comes to church because Eric said, you know what, Reuben's a believer, and I know God took him to heaven, and I'll see him again, but I want to see him knowing I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I'm going to start coming out to church, and I'm going to start serving God. And he's been meeting with our deacon on Mondays, right, Brother Bob, and doing things. And I thank God for that. How about you? How about you? Are you saved? If you're saved, then by your fruits, Jesus said, we'll know you. He said, you'll know you by your fruits. A lemon tree brings forth lemons, amen? And an apple tree brings forth apples. What kind of fruit do you have in your life? Do you have the fruit that you're born again? Some people have no fruit at all. They're just like dead, dry sticks. They're just like dead, dry sticks. In John 15, Jesus said that people that profess faith in me, but are like dead dry sticks, they're going to be broken off because they're not really tied to me, and they don't have my blossoms and buds and fruit, and I'm going to take them like dead dry branches. And I'll tell you what, I have branches at my house, and I've got a bunch of them right now, and every Monday, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be lighting bonfires and burning them. I'm going to be taking a chainsaw out and cutting them up. Why? Because that's all they're good for, to be burned. I wouldn't want to be that way when Jesus is alive, so that I can live a life with him and unto him and for him, because he's living in me. I wouldn't want to be living for myself, doing my thing, and then die and him saying, you know, I didn't really know you. You didn't really know me. And so you're going to have to be cast out. You're going to have to be cast out. You showed up once in a while, but you didn't really know me. You weren't really connected to me. Is that your testimony? If it is, Jesus is calling you to realize that he is the one God chose for you to believe in, and therefore he will become the new Lord and Master of your life. And that's what he died and rose again to be, not just to get us into heaven, but he died and rose again, what? To be the Lord of our life. And if you have no fruit of that at all, then that's not a good sign at all. And so I'm just saying that it blossomed and it budded and bore fruit. Now listen, the fruit in the lives of the apostles show that Jesus Christ is alive. The apostles of Christ were a bunch of fraidy cats. The apostles of Christ were locked in a room. But when he rose from the dead, things changed. Amen. And when he gave them the power of his spirit, things changed. You say, what are you talking about? Well, remember Doubting Thomas? Doubting Thomas traveled all the way to India to tell people about Jesus Christ, that he was risen from the dead. And if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, Thomas wouldn't have lived his life that way. And in fact, when he got to India, he was preaching to so many people, they were believers, and they were getting saved. Have you ever had a part in getting other people saved? That's Christ working through you. And that's what God's doing. I'm so glad we came down into Scranton here. We went down into Scranton, and I remember we went to a prostitute's house over here in a bad side of Scranton. And one of her Johns was a guy named Roger. And I asked Roger one time, I said, Roger, this was in the early 1970s. I said, Roger, where are you going to go when you die? He said, I'm going to the west side of hell reserved for the brothers. He was there. And he was a John of this prostitute. This prostitute was maybe 20 some years old, young lady. And guess what? She trusted Christ as her Savior. I don't care what you've been into. If you trust Christ, you can be cleaned like Mary Magdalene. Amen. She became a born-again Christian, got baptized, came into our church. And I'm thinking today of her granddaughter. I believe she's passed on now, but her granddaughter. And her granddaughter came to our church, got saved, came to our Christian school. And she stays in touch with me now. She loves the Lord. She's in an independent fundamental Baptist church right now, West Virginia. Got a godly husband and serving the Lord in a local church, pregnant and ready to have a baby. And has a Christian home and a Christian family. And I remember, we reached out to a prostitute, and now look at the fruit, the blossoming. Why? Because Jesus is alive, and He changes lives. He changed my life. I'm not perfect, but I'm not what I was. I'm not even what I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved because of a living Christ who's changing lives. And so I'm saying to you, Thomas went all the way to India. When he got there, so many people were affected by Thomas's witness that the one that was doubting Thomas, that a king of the area took a spear and pierced Thomas and killed him. And he died in faith. Remember Peter, who denied him three times before he rose from the dead? Well, after he rose from the dead, when Jesus convinced Peter it was real, he was alive, the history tells us that Peter was given a choice. You're going to die, Peter. And Peter said, I want to die hanging upside down. You put me on the cross with my feet up and my head down. He said, because I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord was crucified. And they said, okay, we'll do that, and they hung him upside down. Before they put him on the cross, they put his wife on the cross. And he stood there, and he said to his wife, honey, he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Give your life for Christ. You can trust him. Honey, you can trust him. And he coached her and encouraged her to give her life for Christ. And then they did that to him. I'm just saying that Aaron's rod blossomed and had buds and almonds and bloomed. Why? Because of a miraculous power of life that God gave to a dead piece of wood. That dead person, Jesus of Nazareth, he was raised from the dead, and now he changes lives. He changed the lives of the apostles, and what a difference he'd made in their own lives. I would not be here today if it were not for Jesus being alive. I didn't like to go to church. I hated to go to church. My mother had to drag me to church. Now I got to drag her. She's so old, she can hardly get here sometimes. Hey, sweetie. But I'm so glad that I'm alive in Jesus Christ. I have a new life in Jesus Christ. He's changed my life. And I want to serve Him. I love Him because He's alive. I don't have a dead religion today. I have a living Christ. A lot of people have dead religion, but they won't ever go to heaven, because you have to have the living Christ. I believe in George Washington. I believe in Thomas Jefferson. But they're dead. They can't communicate with me every day. But I believe Jesus. He's alive. And He works in my life. And so I'm saying that God's chosen man for you, He makes a difference in your life. And it says in the Bible, which speaking of the good news about Christ, is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Hey, I'm so glad I keep spreading the good news, because people get their lives changed by Jesus. God's chosen man for you is pointed out to you by his risen life. God's chosen man for you produces fruit by his miraculous risen life. And lastly, God's chosen man for you is proven by his miraculous risen life. Here's what it says in verses 9 and 10. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel. And they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. You notice that those who didn't accept God's proof that Aaron was the high priest would die in the wilderness. Do you know Jesus said, except you really believe upon me that I am crucified, buried, and risen again to take your sins, unless you put your trust in me, he said, listen, you shall die in your sins. I'm so glad I don't have to die in my sins. I can die in Jesus. And likewise, you must accept the risen Christ by faith so that you don't die in your sins, so that you don't live a fruitless life. So I'm saying the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that man, Jesus of Nazareth, is God in the flesh. Here's what Romans 1:4 says. It says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Do you know what the resurrection of Jesus tells us? He wasn't an ordinary man. I mean, there were men that were raised from the dead, but what happened to them? They died again. They died again. Jesus was the first one to be raised from the dead that what? Never died again. And that proves that he is not just an ordinary man, though he is a man, but that he is God. You know, I had a lady, and she told me, I'm a prophetess. By looking at the fruit of her life, she didn't look like a prophetess to me. But she said, I'm a prophetess, Pastor, and I have a message of God for you. And she felt like I wasn't listening to that message. I never told her she couldn't tell me what she wanted to tell me. In fact, I told her just the opposite. You tell me whatever you want to tell me. But she claimed that she was a prophetess. And so, finally, after a while, she texted me her prophecy about me. And here's what it said. She prophesied, quote, God, G-O-D, and it's small g. Well, right away when I saw God, small g, I was thinking of the Bible. Who's God, small g? Satan, the god of this world. She says, God said about me that you are lying to the church about the buses and how much you pay to rent them to get more money. So I said, finally, she's given me the prophecy. So I got with the secretary treasurer. I said, text me the amount we pay for the bus. And she texted me back $260 for each bus. So each time we run a bus, it costs $260 for one service to run that bus. Today we're running three buses. Now if we rent three bus drivers, each driver is $50. And so each bus would be $310 if I'm doing my math right. So if we run three buses and we have three drivers, it's $930 for every service that we would do that. Now we don't run three buses every service right now, but we do run a van, two buses and a van, and that costs gas. Sometimes the drivers donate their time, but time is money. I text her all that back. I haven't heard from her since then. But you know what? I said, you could verify all this by talking to our treasurer. And you know what? The name of our campaign that our church is doing is the Golden Age, Mining for Men. And what we are really investing our life in, obviously, is not to get rich. It's to run buses to get people. It's to give our life to reach out for people who would be saved by Jesus. And you know what? When this lady said this to me, I thought about a false prophetess, like Jezebel is a false prophetess. And I thought about what the Bible says in 1 John. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." I asked this lady, I said, "Who is Jesus Christ?" She wouldn't answer me. Because I thought she will not really acknowledge that Jesus is God, who came in the flesh, who paid for our sins, and proved that he was God by what? Coming back from the dead. Never to die again. So what more do you need this morning? You know that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. But Satan would tell you, don't believe that. Don't do that. Don't trust him. But I'm saying that it's proven by his resurrection from the dead that he is God in the flesh. And it proves one more thing that I want to say this morning, that Jesus Christ did not die for nothing. Jesus Christ did not die on that cross for nothing. And the Bible says this, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." In other words, they're in hell. But that's not true. Why? Because Jesus didn't stay dead. And his resurrection is a receipt. Just like you want a receipt when you pay a bill, it's a receipt from God saying, "I accepted his death for the sins of the world, and I've raised him from the dead to prove that." One time, and I'll end here, I had a guy named Bill who was a college student. Patty, you knew Bill in college at the University of Scranton. He was in pre-med. He became a doctor. He's now a doctor, last I heard, in Connecticut. And one day I was not going to preach, and I said, "I need some men to preach." And I asked Bill, a young man, to preach. And he preached, and he said something that I heard about later that I think about a lot. He said, "What if I'm in the water and I am drowning and I say, 'Save me, save me,' and you're on the shore and I'm asking you to save me, and you look at Bill in the water and you go, 'I love you, Bill,' and jump in the water, but you can't swim and you sink down to the bottom and die? What good does it do, Bill?" And Bill said, "That's the way it would be if Christ died and said, 'I love you,' but he didn't come back from the dead. It would do you no good at all. But he did come back from the dead. And that proves not only that he's God, but that he accomplished his mission, and God the Father accepted his death as payment in full for all of the sins of every one of you who will come to Jesus and put your trust in him. And God is saying, 'I accept it. And I've raised him from the dead.' And not only that, but you too will live forever with Jesus." Hey, this is real. Either you're going to live forever with Jesus because you're saved, or you're going to live your life a fruitless life for yourself and then die and go to hell and be shut out. I hope that you're one of those that have accepted him. If not, he's knocking at the door of your heart to do that. Let's bow for prayer this morning.